And we begin the second hour of Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is September 3rd, 2023. We're going to go back to Mike and let him ask his question. Mike, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, a couple things. You were talking about Vietnam there, but on your ordeal with chemo, I'd like to encourage you to look up a couple of things, but I had heard years ago, somewhat jokingly, that the people that we would have had a lot more casualties, a lot more deaths in Vietnam if it weren't for Americans not following orders.
Yeah.
And the example was given was that when they were supposed to be somewhere at, you know, sunrise or 6 a.m. or something like that, they'd show up late, and instead of being surrounded, they'd end up, you know, instead of being ambushed by the enemy and surrounded, they would end up, you know, outside of the capture kill zone. And it's because that the orders had to go through a lot of any kind of major, I guess, military maneuvers that they were going to do were sent on up to the United Nations Security Council. And of course, they'd be sent right back over through, you know, from Russia to China to the commanders in North Vietnam. So it's kind of a mess in that.
Well, I got to say, throw in there with what you're saying here is a must read is General Smedley Butler's "The War Is a Racket." It truly is a racket, and you know it's amazing that we have a government that's telling they want peace in the world, they want to bring democracy to everybody. Well, they want to bring them democracy and remove my democracy. So that's not true. That's a bunch of BS excuse for a need for war. Bring them democracy and remove mine. Look at what we're losing each and every day, every year. I blow a gasket on July 4th because I don't know what people are celebrating anymore. We're not a free people anymore, and I get very angry. And my flag is going to remain at my house on my patio and out by the street by my mailbox. It's going to remain inverted until I feel like we the people are being recognized. We get our government back. For working for the people, you know, you work for me. I don't work for you. And we need to get the people to understand that these people have gone rogue on us. Their interest is in the corporations, fascist corporations. It's a scratch my back, I'll scratch your back situation here. And they're not working for the American people. But again, we're supposed to be bringing democracy to the world, but they're removing our own democracy here. And like I said, it's that flag is going to, it's been out there, what, a year and a half now. And I get a lot of people honk and people saying, yes, they agree what it means. It's a nation in distress. I had one guy fly by on a motorcycle, a Harley, and called me a coward. And when he was a coward, he flying by here, said, well, come back here. You know, he ran down and he didn't come back here. You know, that's what kind of person this guy is, how much character he has to call you a coward and can't come back. But we are in trouble here. Like I said, I'm coming up on in November 5th, which is never going to be a day that I can say it's my anniversary day here at RBN. I can never really celebrate November 5th every year because that's also the day that John Stadmiller passed away 2 years ago. Wow. We're coming up on 2 years. So I can't boast and say, oh, 6 years today, you know, and it's always going to feel in my heart that John Stadmiller died today 2 years ago. And I'll definitely have to put something together for a nice tribute show for John that we've continued on here at RBN and continued the fight. But, you know, where are the rebels, Mike? Where are the rebels today? You had Bob Dylan. You had Joan Baez. You had a slew, Grand Funk Railroad. You had so many bands that were going after government, pointing out government abuse. And the war is a racket, and we don't have those people today. And understanding how influential those people are, at least they were back then, people still look to people in music as being influential. We don't have the rebels we had back in the 60s and 70s today. We don't have them. We need them right now.
Well, Stadmiller used to play a song by Steve Voss, you know, instead of the Take America Back, there was another one, Thank God for the Renegades.
Yeah.
And the lives they leave. But there was also a guy from the 90s called Carl Klang. You might check out a bunch of his stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he had some good stuff. But in any event, look up the studies, if you can find them, from National Institute of Health, National Library of Medicine, on the combination of grape seed complex and turmeric, however you want to pronounce it, curcuminoids. Yeah. They did studies that showed that turmeric and chemo together were more effective, and because I think of the oxidative stress that a lot of chemo and radiation causes, this helps to minimize that, and it somehow doesn't diminish the effects of the chemo. So, now don't ask me how they determined this, but because you got multiple variables in such situations, but I think in one particular study, and I've heard about this for like 15 years, so you would think that it would be more widely practiced. And I may have told you this before, but there's always new people that need to hear this, but when you combine grape seed complex and turmeric, it can even slow down something as virulent as the pancreatic cancer. Also heard that it's effective with prostate, to the point to where, especially if you're dealing with somebody 70 something years old, there's no a lot of it is slowing up.
There's a lot of claims out there. I even read something on ivermectin stopping or being used for cancer, treating cancer or prevention of cancer also. Steve Starr's put me on to B17 seeds, and it's hard to find the B17, but you can find the apricot seeds now, and to use those, chew those, free radicals and good things to prevent cancer.
Outlaw stuff, it does make you wonder, that Laetril, was outlawed. It makes you wonder, but I never did put a lot of confidence into that. I mean, the antioxidant prospects of turmeric and curcuminoids and grape seed complex. One year my dad had a bumper crop of Concord grapes, and he had separated out all the seeds and skins and had them in a 5-gallon bucket. And I said, "What are you going to do those, Dad?" And he was like, "Well, I'm going to put them on a compost pile." I said, "Absolutely not." And I got me a gallon jug and poured them in there, and I drank them and crunched them all winter.
Yeah,
and my blood pressure dropped from like 245. I mean, 145 over whatever 90 something down to a normal range of like 123, 117 over 72.
70s and 80s.
And so it will make your arteries more flexible. It's not just
I know the grapeseed oil is really good too, olive oil and grapeseed oil. But I remember working at this winery when I was doing my internship at a winery and learning everything about winemaking. The craft of making wine, that I said to him, "Man, we got all these seeds. I'm scraping off the screens. I got buckets and buckets of seeds." And I thought, man, if we had a way we can press this, we can make our own grape seed oil, and maybe even sell it. And
well,
he looked at me kind of funny,
Walmart
like
or somewhere, it's $7 or $8 for a little jar of grape seed complex capsules.
Yeah, and so he wasn't interested in doing it. I thought,
I meant to go. There's a winery about 50 miles away from me. I meant to go see what they're doing with theirs this year, just because I know that I kept them all winter in just a gallon plastic jug, and it really helped me keep my blood pressure down. That because I have typical issues with gaining 20, 30 pounds, and as I've gotten older, it bumps my blood pressure up during the winter.
Sure, it does. It's because you've increased your vascularity. The miles and miles of capillaries you've actually increased when you gain all this weight. I forget the equation. But if you're gaining weight, your blood pressure is going to go up because you're going to have more blood vessels to be perfusing that tissue, the adipose tissue.
The other thing is natokinase or vitamin K2, and it helps push the calcium around so it doesn't land on your heart valves and stuff. And I gained a new appreciation for sauerkraut after that, after hearing that. But the Vietnam War, it was pretty much a racket, as you said. His name? Smedley Butler was dealing with the, what was it they called them, the business plot of the 30s. And ended up trying to expose them, but he had to get out of the military before he had gained a perspective or was allowed to publish that. And obviously, when he was active duty, they wouldn't have never let him publish such a book. But
no, I agree.
I don't believe. But anyway, thanks for taking my call, and good luck with your recovery.
Right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Thank you. James in Vancouver, are you there?
Yeah, good afternoon. Was that grape seed oil I just heard?
Yeah. Yeah, I had all these. I had tons of it. I mean, we would crush. Oh, geez. I mean, I would do a 10-hour, 12-hour day. And we would crush, let's say a good day, 17 to 20 tons a day. And we'd have all we'd have all these seeds. And I'd have to scrape off the seeds, and they went into big buckets. And I just thought, what a waste. Can I figure a way, get a press? Can I do something to press these seeds to get the oil? Can I do this?
Yeah. I guess so it's good for blood pressure, is it? Just I heard that. Yeah.
That's what they say. That's what they say, yeah.
Okay, so look at all of those rock and roll people that were anti-war.
Yeah.
They were all controlled by military intelligence. You take the rock festival that they had in Jasper's Farm in 69.
Woodstock.
Yeah, Woodstock. That was all controlled by the military. Now, where I got that from is a woman named Kay Griggs, and I've used her name on the air before. She did 8 hours of debriefing on the Internet, and I don't know if that Internet is still up, where she got all her intel from her husband, George, who was a colonel in the Marine Corps out of Fort Lejeune, who was supposed to have been made a general, but apparently the general who was going to make him a general died. Now, that that statement can be cross-referenced with the guy who wrote the book, Weird Scenes in the Canyon, Dave McGowan.
Yeah.
And Dave was looking very healthy until he got to 55, and he had a very fast-acting cancer and died real soon. So the hand of military intelligence, I believe, was all behind that anti-war stuff. And I lived through that period of time. And so I just wanted to get that out there for the record.
I'll have to research that. I never heard that. That's a new perspective. I have never heard that. So I'll definitely have to look into that.
We have a gentleman on the network from the No Such Agency, the NSA. And I believe he would have something to say about this, but I won't mention his name at present. But
I tell you what, if you can find something on that to verify and back that up, your comment,
I'd like to see it.
If you could send it over to my email, I'd like to read that. If you could find something.
All right. I'll get back to you on that.
I appreciate that. All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate the call. Again, let's talk about this young couple. Do they actually understand what they're being going through here? Again, the government saying that we own your child. I mean, can you imagine that? You know, you enter politics the moment you step out of your house. I kid you not. You enter politics the moment you step out of your house. You get in your car, the kind of car you own. Well, they're going to determine that. No more. They're going to end the combustion engines here by, 2035, push you to electric, which is a crazy idea that's never going to work. It's never going to work. There's nothing environmental. There's nothing green about all electric charging stations, burning more coal to produce electricity. The limited range you'll go with 200 miles, the charging stations. There's no more trips to grandma's house 800 miles away if you have an electric car. And then we talk about the disposal of the batteries. That's got to be toxic. How do you take care of that? Well, is that green? No, that's not green. You talk about licensure. You talk about tax regulations. Every year, thousands and thousands of new tax code. Why is that? Well, they need more of your money for more of their BS programs, their agendas that they have to have funded. Speed limits, politics, the weather, manipulated weather, politics created. New rules for now and new rules for coming later on in the future in new laws. Politics everywhere you look. You go up, tank up your car. Politics of oil and gas. Why are you paying this much? It's politics. It's not by supply and demand. It's politics. You drop your kid off to school at the public school. I like to refer to it as the public school system. And you enter into politics. What will be taught to your children? Well, it's no longer reading, writing, arithmetic, and science. Now it's agendas from the left. brainwashing, indoctrination, LGBTQ plus. The plus? What's the plus stand for? It's the premium package of the agenda. It's the premium package. They should just call it the whole enchilada. Just call it the whole enchilada. We get it. It's the premium package. LGBTQ plus. Congratulations. Congratulations. All the taxes you pay, politics, the tax code changes every year. Like I said, thousands more new tax codes here. And you can't even figure this stuff out. You got to hire somebody who understands the new tax code. It's like working on your car back in the 60s and 70s. Everybody could work on a car. Carburetor, easy. You switch all the stuff out, generator, not a problem. I could fix that. I can fix it. Now, today, what do you have? You got computer systems everywhere. You've got codes and code readers to reset and change. They made this on purpose so you can't work on your car. The same way as the tax codes, you can't work on your taxes anymore. And then they hire, what, 87,000 new IRS agents here. Oh, by the way, here's your Glock 9mm. Yes, IRS agents carrying around a firearm. Oh, my God. Where are we going with this? IRS agents now are law enforcement? This is crazy. Crazy times. Do you agree with these people? Or you just do you oppose these people? They activate their politics. Or are you just going to accept it? Or are you going to actually finally say something here? Like I said before, silence is implied consent. Wouldn't it be better just to get this off your chest, to voice your opinion? I don't know. I do it. I do it all the time. Probably why I don't have a lot of friends, but I don't care. I don't want those kind of friends anyway. I don't care if I step on toes. I don't care about the feelings of the liberals because they don't care about my feelings. I will not turn the other cheek. I will not turn the other cheek. Freedom is doing what you know is right without fear. Again, repeat, freedom is doing what you know is right without fear. We just want to be left alone. Is that possible? We just want to be left alone. Allow us to live our lives without congestion. That's all I want. My right to decide and my rights to be respected. I want my journey in this life. It's left up to me. No roadblocks. Is that asking too much? A less complicated life. And we have these people that tell me they don't, I don't know well. I don't know what I'm talking about. I know better than you. And since I know better than you, I'm going to impose my will on you for the betterment of civilization. These people want you dead. I met a guy today. He totally got it. Talked about depopulation. I was blown away. I looked at my wife. This guy gets it. He understands what's going on, the depopulation. He understands Agenda 2030. He understands COVID. He understands all this stuff, the shots. He totally got it. I pulled out my wallet, pulled out a card. You deserve a card. I'm not going to waste it on a liberal. You understand. I gave him a couple cards. I said, please share the message. Don't be silent. Share it with other people. We have to bring more people into the loop of what we are fighting here. The enemy is well equipped. They've got the numbers. They got the money. But we have the education. We have the education. If people are willing to listen, open up their minds, we can prove what they are doing. We can take these people down. Tom in Utah, welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. I probably mentioned this before, but in 1993, the National Child Welfare Act was authored, and then it was enhanced in 1997, called the Adoption and the Safe Families Act. Who do you think the author was? Who was at the helm in 1993?
In 83. Wait a minute. That wasn't Jimmy Carter. He was late 70s. I don't know. Tell me. Who was it?
Billy Boy and Hillary.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah. Okay, Hillary.
Bill was the president in 93 and 97, but the National Child Welfare Act was the handiwork of Hillary Clinton.
I thought, didn't you say 83? I swore you said 83.
If I did, I meant 93.
Okay, that's where you threw me off. I thought I heard you say 83. I'm thinking, wait a minute here. After Carter. Okay. Maybe I heard wrong. I thought I heard you say 83. Okay.
Yeah, that bill put the perverse incentive into even more the profiteering of taking children by the state and all the agencies that became involved. And then in 1997, with that Adoption and Safe Families Act, that opened the door for the sexual deviants to adopt children. And that was Hillary's contribution to the system.
Yeah.
I didn't know that when I got involved with my first cases. You know, I'm assuming you dealt with children that were involved in CPS cases at the Utah Valley.
Yeah, I was. Sure. Here and there.
Yeah, I was dealing primarily with the cases at Primary Children's up in Salt Lake. But it was a shocker for me to get into that battle in the courts and having to actually try to defend the family when the family was accused of abuse or neglect. But it took me a while to find out who really was the driver of that whole system.
Right,
and it was
right.
That.
Speaking of which, Tom, I don't know if you listen or watched much TV, but and I don't, but I do catch the commercials, how they're pitching new shots and vaccines right now. Again, in the illness month here, what they call the cold and flu season. I just call it the season of vitamin deficiency, basically, is what it is. But they're pushing RSV now. I remember RSV is children, you know, the respiratory disorder. Respiratory syncytial virus here, and now they're pushing it on adults 60 and older. So they're going to be pumping this stuff in the veins of older people. You've got the meningitis shots out there, the flu vaccine, the Pneumovax. For shingles. You're just like a pincushion here, and we wonder why America is getting sicker and sicker. Well, they're pumping you full of all this toxin. They're pushing the RSV vaccine right now. It's like, oh my God, I remember that for children, never adults. Now it's children. And I don't actually think I've seen an adult with RSV. I'd never have. So again, they're just dipping in and trying to find ways to make more money. And there's always something manufactured, a threat, pushing the fear, using the mainstream media, and then having the sheeple line up and take their shots. And I think it's sad. And I'm very vocal on this RSV one here. And I don't need shots. There's no more shots in my life, Tom. I'm done. I'll never have another shot. My dogs don't get shots. We're done with all this.
You don't need the antigen load bypassing the firewall of your liver.
Exactly. And I have an immune system. It's pretty strong, Ben. And, you know, it's just what it is. And I don't think our Heavenly Father would put us down here on earth unprepared to handle what we might come in contact with. And so all this thing here of we're supposed to live in a sterile society here. I guess the pharmaceuticals believe we should live in a sterile bubble, a sterile society. And so you don't.
Well,
these things take these shots, you know.
Steve, we actually do live in a sterile environment. What's the number one energy of every pathogen that attacks the human family? What's the number one enemy? Oxygen.
Oxygen.
Followed by sunlight.
Yep.
Followed by cosmic energy. Followed by salt. Followed by acids. Followed by lysozymes in your saliva. We live in a sterile environment.
Yeah, well, you know, there's an old saying. Tom, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And it comes to like muscle strength, atrophy. Your immune system could go through a period of atrophy if it's not challenged. You could have a very weak immune system if it's not challenged. It has to be challenged in order to become stronger.
Well, do you know what the purpose of your immune system truly is? To take care of those denaturing or aging cells within your body. Your immune system was designed to take care of cancer. Aging is a form of cancer. But we divert our immune system to things that it shouldn't have to deal with if we were living exactly as we were designed.
Right.
So the immune system is designed to deal with the radiation from the sun and the aging processes of the body. Right. And if it's allowed to do that, cancer is a non-experience because our immune system is always energized and sufficiently capable of handling those problems if we don't load it with the other crap, the other toxins and the other insults.
You know, I was talking to one of my friends.
God is not stupid.
No, I was talking to one of my friends the other day. And we talk about diet and, you know, all the nitrates and all these things you shouldn't be eating, the sugar consumption and alcohol consumption. And all these things we're putting in our body, which suppress our immune system, the same thing is being is happening actually to our animals too. And I look at I've had dogs for a good portion of my life here. I've had lots of dogs, and my dogs were always healthy, never had a problem. And then suddenly, there's something happened. There was a beginning of dog allergies, and I'm seeing now dog allergies. Well, what could be causing that? Well, it's because you're making animals eat things that are not digestible. And not part of their constitution. And so you're creating these problems with allergies because of putting all these fillers in the dog food. The greedy companies here decided, well, let's put some fillers in. We can make more money, take out less meat, put more filler in, grains and things that they can't really handle. And we've created a whole industry now, a whole section of animals that now have allergies. And by golly, ka-ching, ka-ching. Now your dog's got to take pills or he's got to take shots. These people, they look for ways to make new commerce, and they made new commerce because we should not have our animals scratching and having skin irritations, but we do because of the fillers they put in the dog food.
Well, remember parve and rabies shots, which for some reason God really messed up. He forgot to ask Adam and Eve to give the shots to the animals in the beginning. You know, we're doing the same thing to our dog or our cat, to our livestock, as we do to ourselves. We are bypassing the firewall of the liver and injecting the antigens and the garbage along with it, the adjuvants and aggravants.
Yeah, aggravants, right.
Through the needle.
Yeah.
Bypassing that firewall of the liver.
Yeah.
So our dogs are suffering like we are.
Yeah, yeah, they are. Yeah. Tom, thank you for the call. Appreciate the call. Thanks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilajit by other names: shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
That's 512-248-8252. And like I said, I'm looking forward to getting back to my jazz show in a couple of weeks here. I am excited about putting some new music together and some good shows. And I also do a great show. I love this. This is going to be my 6 years of doing a War of the Worlds broadcast. I actually played the original broadcast. And this year I'm doing a little bit of something different before a pre-show and then a post-show. And it's going to be fun. I'm into history, and I remember the time my father told me about the actual original broadcast. And he was a young teenager and getting the phone call, we're being invaded by aliens from Mars. It was a pretty interesting story my father told me. So I'll be doing a show on that in October. On Halloween night, I do it. Perfect timing, Halloween night. Well, we just had a hurricane, a tropical storm turned to a hurricane here. Idalia, Category 3, didn't hit 4. Now, the Weather Channel was praying for a 4. They just love the bad news, don't they? God, they just want to jump right over that and say, oh, it's going to be a 4. It's going to be a 5. It's going to be the worst thing ever. And it missed us here in Central Florida. I'm very thankful for that. And I prayed for the others in the pathway that they would make it through the hurricane and with little minimal damage. And there was damage. It landing in Perry, Florida, in the Big Bend area, going down to Apalachicola, down to Cedar Key. And if you're a big fan of oysters on the half shell, you'll never find a better oyster than an Apalachicola oyster or a Cedar Key oyster. It's the best oysters on the half shell right there. I'm assuming that the massive amounts of water and runoff will probably put these oyster beds to rest for a little while, because they are filter feeders and they're going to be taking in all this toxic stuff. Not a good thing. Actually, eating oysters on the half shell, probably not a good idea anyway. Knowing our oceans are getting more polluted, more sudsy, and they're taking in everything you can think of. I haven't had an oyster on the half shell in eons, but I do remember back in my college days sitting down at the oyster bar and sucking down a couple dozens with a cold brew. Some good times, good things we enjoyed back then. But I don't think we can do that anymore today. I was thinking about presidential candidate Ron DeSantis. Actually, he really showed that he was prepared for this storm, this tropical storm that turned into a Category 3, Idalia. He had this whole thing lined up with thousands and thousands of linesmen, even coming down from the Midwest, coming down from Ohio down here, already in place, the trucks in place, waiting for the power outages and to reinstall our power back again. I really, really did a solid job. And understanding that, how attentive he really is to Florida, to be honest with you, I think it's a waste now. I think the timing is wrong for Ron DeSantis to become thinking about president of the United States. Stay down here, do a great job, continue doing a great job. He's not perfect. I've caught flaws. I've caught things that I do not like about Ron DeSantis. Calling me a listless vessel was not a good thing. I don't like that. And I certainly didn't like it, him going to Israel to meet with the Israelis and to kiss the ring. Didn't like that at all. I don't like that. But other than that, he's not perfect, but he's doing a pretty good job down here and keeping us working and not going along with the COVID agenda when it comes down to COVID and lockdowns and things like that. So I commend him for those things. I think maybe he should sit this one out and then think about it in four more years, possibly in 2028. I mean, we still got a major hurdle to get over anyway. I think about it. We still got the same system in place, the fraud system in place for Donald Trump to beat if he's allowed to even be a part of the 2024 election. I mean, they're working overtime to take him down with every illegal avenue they can to take him down to make sure he's disqualified for 2024. But if he gets in, again, he's going to be fighting the battle of a system of fraud and deceit. And I partly hold him responsible for this. Again, if you identify a problem, you have a duty to fix that problem. He identified the fraud that was in place, what they might do, and he simply crossed his fingers and said, I hope it doesn't happen to me. Well, it did. It happened. It could happen again. I don't have any idea of how a second theft of an election will be handled in this country. I have no idea. Will this be the firestorm? Will this set off the revolution? Having a second election stolen from Donald Trump, will this be the powder keg if this happens? I don't know. It's hard to predict this one here. Americans, they got to be more uncomfortable to stand up and take a fight, to take a stand. I just don't know. I'm ready. I'm engaged. Like I said, I am your Huckleberry. I am there in for the fight. I just hope I can recruit more people to the fight here. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to John in California. Welcome, John.
John, in California. Yeah, Rancho Cucamonga, California. Anyway, I've never called your show before, Steve, but I listen to you quite often, actually, almost all the time. And I was trying to keep up with your fight against cancer and the effects of chemotherapy and stuff that radiation treatments and so forth that tend to kill people that make them better.
No radiation. There was no radiation.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
No, no radiation.
So I just wanted to mention to you, you'd already mentioned about apricot pits in vitamin B17.
Yes.
I imagine you've run across a name before, an author by the name of G. Edward Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
He's famous for having written that book about the Federal Reserve, the creature from Jekyll Island.
Yep.
I almost forgot. Yep. And but that was more of a historical research on just history. In 1974,
he brought to attention also 9/11 being an inside job. He also brought in what else did he bring in? 9/11, controlled demolition. He brought to our attention a document that we should all know about, the Project for a New American Century, the PNAC document. He brought that to
attention. Oh, yeah, that's
also.
Right. Yeah. So, more than just that, but I mean, the one that stands out in my mind is a creature from Jekyll Island. Anyway,
sure.
In 1974, he was involved, he wrote a book, authored a book And it's available as a free download PDF on the internet called World Without Cancer. And it, he describes how he didn't just decide to author the book and do the research. He was shamed into it by his good buddy, golfing partner and so forth, who also was a very reputable, reputed medical doctor, and was trying to get him to put a book together since this doctor was not a great author or anything, you know. So, and that's again, it's called World Without Cancer, and it discusses all this stuff about Laetril and so forth. And I just thought I would mention it to you if you hadn't already heard of it. I haven't gone through it completely myself yet, but I'm just still trying to find out where to buy apricot pits. Anyway, as far as one of your previous caller, Mike from Kentucky, I believe, he was talking about how soldiers in Vietnam were just not obeying orders, and in several cases, it led to them not being caught in a trap, and as a result, a certain fewer number of soldiers died than would have died if they had followed their orders and gone into this trap. Well, that was something very similar happened. Not just in Vietnam. I didn't hear that about Vietnam before, but what I did read about was Douglas MacArthur in Korea, and he had a big disagreement with Harry Truman, who was the president at the time, and Truman didn't want to enlarge the war at all, and he just wanted to make sure that they stay. Keep the invading North Koreans north of the 38th parallel. Right. Well, from what I've read in other books, I can't for life remember the names, but I know I've come across this before because it was it made a big impression on me, and that was that what I guess Truman had MacArthur do is call into Washington and tell him on a weekly basis or some periodic basis, what his movements were going to be with the troops and planes and so forth, and every time Truman did this, he found that he was beaten to the punch by the enemy. So when it came to a point where Truman just MacArthur didn't do it, and he deliberately disobeyed his superior's commander in chief. Orders, and that's when he launched this attack through the water over at a place called Incheon, and that was right about the 38th parallel, and he was able to push the North Korean army pretty far back. And of course, once he did that, Truman fired him. Yeah. So there's a lot of that. It has to do with what's called a phony war, I guess,
Yeah. Yeah.
What enemy are we fighting, and why are we fighting them, and why are we here being killed and losing soldiers if we can't shoot back, or maybe we shouldn't be there in the first place? Who the hell knows?
I agree. I wonder how much the hypocrisy that was found at or caught by eyes that daughters are being sent to fight a war for what, and then politicians and they're getting exclusions, deferments that have to go. They would claim college or something else, or they'd have a doctor paid off to give a full excuse of why they would be exempt from serving the country, flat feet or whatever, or some other kind of problem. I wonder how much of that finally trickled out to the exception to the rulers' attitude that if the politicians aren't willing to send their own children to fight for this war, then what are we really fighting it for, and what are the causes? And I think maybe that had a big part of it. And then, of course, again, like I said, the rebels of the 60s and the 70s writing their music to point out the government hypocrisy of, your children can go, and they should go, but our children are staying behind, because if you think about it, their children must be saved to send off the wealth, back to their children to keep it in the family.
Mm.
And these people are very wealthy millionaires, and they can have their sons die in a war. So that money has to be handed off to the son. And so that's why they've excluded. I wonder how much of that actually finally settled in, and that's why this finally ended.
I think that's a great point you just made, and I hadn't even considered that. But it sounded very similar to what happened as far as me. I was 23 years old when I graduated from college in 1970, and they had just instituted I was 1A in the draft because I graduated from college, so I didn't have that to fall back on anymore. But they put together a lottery system, and because a lot of black people had probably rightfully complained that their kids were being put on the front lines more so than white kids were, and so the lottery was pulling numbers out of a rotating bin, just like a typical lottery for prizes or something, and the birth dates were used to establish the number in the draft. Well, the number you would be when they're calling numbers. My number was a very mediocre 206. There's 365 days in the year. That's not a really great number. They were taking 20 and 30 numbers a month for the first 3 or 4 months. So I figured I'd probably end up getting drafted. I had to go in for pre-induction physical, which was not a lot of fun either. But I figured I'd probably end up going in July or August of that year. In September, Nixon announced that they had taken 190 numbers, and they only needed 5 more numbers to get through to the end of the year. And when I heard that, so that would be up to 195, and so I just missed it by 11 numbers. So I remember getting down on my knees.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You mentioned about blacks being taken before whites, and, of course, they were used. I mean,
right.
we haven't touched on the Tuskegee syphilis experiment in a while, but
correct.
They were lesser human beings, and that's why they were used for guinea pigs for that testing. How did they determine in the raffle itself that who was white and who was black? How would they know that? Did they go to tax forms? How did they figure that out based on what? On what criteria could they tell this is a white person, this is a black person? How could they do that? Any idea?
I guess, no one's ever asked me that question before. And I never even considered it. But I would assume that black people are not stupid. Their parents probably are not stupid. They probably put some kind of a task force together to on any given week when there were the casualties in a given week when it was really going badly were over 200 dead, and they could find out who's black and who's white.
I was wondering, because there's nothing on your Social Security. There's nothing, as far as I understand,
that's
there's
true.
Nothing coded.
Oh.
There's nothing coded
with
it. At least maybe there is now. But back then, there was nothing coded on. If they looked at my Social Security number, they'd say, this is a black guy. This is a guy. Okay, throw him in. We're going to definitely use him because they were targeting black people. But I'm just trying to figure out how they possibly could know in the raffle what was they determined or what triggered it and told them this is black and this is white. And how they made their little raffle. I'm just trying to figure that one out.
What do you mean raffle?
Well, I mean, as far as the lottery numbers,
Yeah.
This is
No.
This is a lottery you don't want to be in, but how do they figure it out?
They didn't have to do that. I'm sorry. I misunderstood you, Steve. They didn't have to know that to put the lottery together. Everyone who was of age had to report to their Selective Service Office and register for the draft, once they got to be 18, and they didn't have any other things in their favor,
somebody,
like going to college or anything like that.
Yeah. On the other side,
when you looked at
that person, when you filled your paperwork out, who checked the box and said, Negro. At that time, they used the word Negro. Negro, black. And there must have been something they used, some kind of way to label everybody as if you just turned your paperwork in, they wouldn't know. But if you actually have to request the paperwork, there must be somebody on the other side who must have said, okay, this is a black guy, okay? And if they're going to use your race for primary, to use you for soldiers in the war, there must have been some way they had a way of marking that person, that individual who signed up for Selective Service, as white or black. There must have been somebody who keyed that. There had to be.
I don't think that's really called for, though, because you're starting with your starting point is all American male. First of all, I don't think women were being drafted.
No.
All American males, you know, of a certain age, with certain qualifications. You know, they have both legs, both arms. You know,
yeah.
and all it is really is a social security number, and your birthday is put on a ticket in a spinning bin, and numbers are pulled out in a certain order by someone we would hope it would be objective and not going through and trying to plan which one to take at a certain point, because then there would be evidence of collusion.
Right.
So I don't think they even had the new
note. When I get done tonight, I'm going to look up the percentages in black versus white in Vietnam. I'm curious. I'm curious, percentages.
Don't let me stop you.
No, I'm curious. I want to know for my own good, because if it's a higher percentage of black, then there must have been some way to trigger that. That can't just be by accident that, in the lottery, by golly, this black guy won, and this one goes, and this one goes, and you have less whites and you have more blacks serving in the military. I'll look this up. Now you've got me curious. I got to figure this out to see if there was some kind of system in place to do this. I'm curious.
Yeah. Okay. Well. All right. I'll check with you on your next report on RVN.
Yeah. Okay. Appreciate that.
Okay, Steve. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Steve. Bye.
All right. Well, I want to touch a little bit on this interview. Tucker Carlson is doing really well on X, the X Twitter show. Doing well on X and his own podcast. Doing well, pulling in big numbers. Oh, by the way, the mugshot for Donald Trump. Last time I reported, it generated $7.4 million for his campaign. Now they're up at $9.1. Last I heard, $9.1 million for putting together that mugshot, grim face out there. They're making all kinds of commerce on this, T-shirts and mugs and everything you can think of now. But the donations are coming in. It's a pretty slick move. All right, make an ugly, mean face. You're very angry. All right, perfect, got it. Ka-ching, ka-ching. We're making more money on this now, and your numbers are going up higher and higher now since all this happened, this new indictment here. But there was an interview Tucker Carlson did on Adam Carolla. You remember Adam Carolla? He was on Comedy Central, I believe, and he was with that Jimmy Kimmel, which they are not close and friends at all anymore. Kimmel's a big-time libtard. And Adam Carolla is a conservative, and he actually does a pretty dang good show. I enjoy his show, but he had Tucker Carlson on the other day. Very interesting, some of the prospects of what he thinks is going to happen. Tucker thinks is going to happen. We're going to be in a war in another year or so, and that this administration needs war powers to win in 2024. I think he might be on to something there. One thing that was asked to him, and I mentioned this over a year ago, as a last-ditch effort by this administration to take out Donald Trump. They've tried every legal avenue they can and to take him down to make sure he's disqualified for 2024. Nothing seems to work. All it seems to generate is more popularity for this man and to rise up in the polls. They can't take him down. Nothing is working. The documents, everything you can think of, Stormy Daniels, everything you can think of, they've thrown at this guy is not sticking. He truly is the Teflon Don. Donald Trump. The last question he asked him, and I said this over a year ago, a last-ditch effort by the liberals, the deep state, will be to assassinate Donald Trump. He asked him this question. Do you understand? They may do this. They may go after you to take you out, assassinate you. He's very well aware of this, evidently, and he's taken some precautions, beefed up his security, and he understands that these people will go this length to make sure he has stopped. They can't have their little system disrupted. They like the system the way it's in place. Donald Trump, evidently, and I agree that he's tried. I hope if he gets a second chance, he will do one thing. I thought about this the other day. Do this first of all. First of all, go in and fire everybody. Fire everybody. Fire them all. Restart. Build your team like you would a football team. Hire competent people. Now, on top of that, hiring the best of the best, make every one of them, all your candidates, your applicants, take a polygraph test. Donald Trump makes them all take a polygraph. If you refuse a polygraph, you might have something to hide, so I don't want you anyway. So make them all take a polygraph. They have to pass flying colors. You are part of my administration. Then we move forward to taking down the deep state. I think it's a great move. A polygraph test. Commit to that. I've taken polygraphs before. I had to for certain jobs. Trusted with lots of money. You have to take a polygraph. You have to pass. You can't get the job. What's wrong with having a polygraph for potential candidates for your administration to make sure they're honest and have integrity and character? What's wrong with having that? It's a great idea. Take our last caller here before we close out the show. Misty in Kansas, you're my last caller.
Hi, Steve. That's a very good point about the polygraph. That would be cool. Anyway, what you were talking, or you and the gentleman prior, about the how did the black people and the white people, if I'm correct, the first three digits of your Social Security number kind of determine what state you're in.
Okay.
I
don't know. Think about that. Let me have to look that one up. I know the first three numbers you're saying, correct?
Yes. Like I'm 413. The majority or areas in Tennessee are that. You follow me? So maybe he's on to something as of that. I think I read it years upon years ago. Okay. So possibly that could be the tie-in, because they're picking from that particular area. They know the geographics of the people.
Right.
Yes, sir. Okay.
It's something to think about. Yeah, it is. I was foreign born. I was born in Germany. Father was military, and then moved to the United States. Lived in Greenwich, Connecticut, and so I'm not sure when my Social Security was actually given to me. At that time, I got to think about that and go back and see if I can find out. I know immediately today a child is born and they're given a Social Security number right away. I mean, you were a taxable entity, for God's sake.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. And I might, if I find it, I'll send it to you. But I believe that's where it all comes in.
Appreciate it. Yeah, send it to me. Okay. Well, there's our music that completes our show this evening. Back again on Monday for the National Intel Report. Again, Hartley Schlanger. Hour number one, we're going to get down to what's going on in Ukraine and Russia. He knows it. We're going to hear it from him firsthand. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your calls. Health, happiness, and safe travels. We will talk again. Good night.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.